And I was like, all right, this is touching me in a place that is appropriate now at this age. Mm-hmm. And
hello, YouTube.
You know, what do you
John,
expect
tell
out
about
of
the
us,
predator
right?
thing.
Tell about the miners and the predators.
No, don't say no. Wow. Wow.
The new hockey team in Utah, man.
Come Hold on. I'm getting an update on my phone from YouTube.
Now we got to clarify. Yeah. Charge is talking about the new hockey team, potentially called the Miners.
Miner, you know, people tilling the mines. Do they tell mines? Can you tell miner? You know?
Unbelievable. All right.
I don't know what to tell you. It ain't going to get any better than this.
What are you talking about? It's going to be great.
Hours made 80.
That's right. We measure in time. Why are you pointing at yourself?
But I'm the one. Yeah, I'm the one hosting. Guys, it's been a long ass week. Okay.
From the top.
Awful. Welcome everybody to another episode of Press B to Cancel. I'm hosting this week. I just forgot. I am Sick Jake, and not alone. Thankfully, I am joined by three friends of mine to talk about a game that is, well, it's a game. Wolf, how you doing this week?
I'm doing pretty good. I have not touched this game in a while, but that's for reasons. Not just my own.
Probably good
ones. But we'll dive into that in a bit.
All right. And Charon as well, joining us from the bed and breakfast. How are you doing this week?
This is my actual bedroom. Welcome, everybody. It is intimate. We are intimate tonight. My kennel is built up. My folks are visiting out of town, and my kennel is in my office. So it probably would have been entertaining to see me behind a cage doing the podcast, but didn't give me a whole lot of room to work with. So,
okay. Are you keeping your parents in a kennel?
I do, yeah.
Okay.
It helps with messes.
Look,
just put some wood chips in there, okay?
Boomers are getting older, GP, and we got to get creative with living arrangements.
I mean, do that's have just plastic.
Are you calling me a boomer?
Yeah. Wow.
Not you, parents.
Oh, okay. Sorry, no, I'm feeling overly boomers. Defensive for tonight's episode because I have a feeling I'm probably the only one with my beliefs.
Let's just say that GP wins some points because at least my room is still featured on the podcast. I'm just not in it this time.
That's true.
What's
People
messed up
break
is this
it into your office.
This is green screen. I'm actually on the other side of Char's room.
Yeah. He's behind me.
Char's bedroom, yeah.
He's out of frame. It'd be great if a hand came over on your side there.
It's great. Awesome.
Oh, man. Movie magic.
All right,
love.
Folks. So this week, we're not doing that in post. We can't. We don't have the budget. Speaking of lots of budget and high production costs, this week we're talking about a game that was requested for decades. It's a game that was on every gamer's most wanted to be redone or remastered list. And that is Final Fantasy VII Remake. It took them 20 years, but Square finally came around, and they basically started making the remake of this, and they turned it into a trilogy. I'm not here to debate the trilogy and why they need that, but I did see that, you know, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, the second one, has been out and is getting quite good reviews across the board. And there's a lot of folks who probably, much like me, saw Rebirth getting great reviews and said, maybe I should go back and play Final Fantasy VII Remake. Chard as well, same deal. Because both Chard are like, we got a sickness. And the sickness is playing every game that comes out, whether we are going to like it or not.
Jake and I have a terrible fear of missing out, apparently. And we share it. And it feels good to both live. Because I felt like I lived this alone because nobody understood why I didn't want to get something that I didn't like. But Jake understands. So I'm okay with that.
Just don't ask me how far I am in Dragon's Dogma or Street Fighter 6 or Baldur's Gate 3 or
how is Street Fighter
Turbo 6? Kid or, you know, it'll be installed again someday. So yeah, I mean, you and I installed recently Final Fantasy VII Remake because we wanted to see whether we would like this rebooted trilogy or with this rebooted game and kind of ignite the passion that we had for the old game. Because I think you and I both like the old game as well.
Absolutely.
In fact, I think everybody on this episode right now like the original 587, I believe.
I even think he's not here today, but I think 7 was the only one he finished.
Sinistar?
If I remember. Sinistar? Yeah, Sinistar is out today, but I think he said in previous episodes that 7 was probably the only one he either played or the only one he's ever beat. I don't remember which one it was, but I know I thought he played this one.
We should address that elephant in the room about Sinistar not being here. He was invited down to, I believe it was Central America or Costa Rica, somewhere around there, to break ground on the new Jurassic Park theme park, which is pretty exciting. Yeah. So prayers go out to him and his family.
Very good.
Hopefully he stays out of the cages. Yeah. That's for boomers, not for Sinistar.
Only for visiting parents.
Yeah.
Well, I like the original 7 once.
Once. just once?
Just once.
Is it you beat it once, like, or you try to play it again?
I beat it once. I did pretty much everything I cared to do, and then I tried going back to it years later numerous times. I've never been able to get out of Midgar, sometimes not even out of the first reactor.
Oh my god, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Really? Okay. All right, so you don't care as much for Final Fantasy VII now when you're trying to play it, but maybe you liked it back in the day. And I can relate to that. I've said before. Okay. Yeah. It's like me with Final Fantasy IV, right? Like, I enjoyed it the first time I played it as a kid, but when I try and play it now, I just can't do it.
It just keeps getting better, yeah.
Steal your tongue and besmirch the good name of Final Fantasy IV.
I'll save that for a different episode.
No. There's going to be a Final Fantasy IV section of this episode. The way I'm... about to just lay it down, like, I'm gonna let you guys talk for a while and then I'll close out.
We gave your picks for best game of 91 already, GP,
and you
last
guys got
week
that
and you weren't
wrong,
here
by the way.
No, we
you
didn't.
Tecmo Bowl was my runner-up.
Runner-up was Super Tecmo Bowl, and the overall was 4. That's the order we did it in.
Okay, so, and you guys said Super Tecmo Bowl, right? Not just Tecmo Bowl, because there's a stark difference.
He said Super Tecmo Bowl, and then I followed it up with a discussion about it. And then he came in with your number one, which was Final Fantasy IV.
I really need to watch the episodes I'm not on.
Maybe watch more than 5 seconds of the episode.
I scrubbed through it to, like, not watch anything you guys were talking about with me. I was more interested in your guys' picks.
You're like, where's my picks? There it is.
I knew,
they're backwards.
The rightitude of my picks. I was curious about you guys.
GP scrubbing the episode is what helps us in the algorithm, because at least somebody's finishing in the entire hour-long episode.
It looks like I'm a fucking DJ, too. I'm just like, you know, it's great.
All right. Okay, so we're not going to, you know, some of us liked Final Fantasy VII, the original, some of us didn't. But I mean, it was definitely a game of its time, and I know, and I can feel, I understand why people wanted it to be redone, especially when we've had some stellar remasters over the last, you know, number of years. So Square decided that they're going to remake this game. They quickly realize, or maybe they knew it all along, that it's a lot of work making video games in 2020. And it's a lot of investment, a lot of assets to create, a lot of music, a lot of art. So they decided that they couldn't do the entire game like they used to. They had to break it up. And I think in the beginning it was kind of ambiguous on how many entries they would do for this series. But I believe the official answer now is they're basically doing this remake in 3 parts. We had Remake, we have Rebirth, and we have a third one coming in the near future.
I think
what
Wolf,
do you guys think
Wolf,
of that?
Wolf called
that decision.
He thinks it's going to be called Reunion, and that makes sense to me. That sounds that would be like
I actually had a change of heart on that, because I think there was Final Fantasy VII Crisis Core Reunion not too long ago.
Yes,
so
there was.
I don't think it'll be called Reunion, unless Square doesn't mind being as confusing as Nintendo, in which case, all for it. But I had another name, and now I can't remember what it was.
Look at what they did with the end of Crisis Core, the remaster or the remake that they just put out there. Like, the way that they're doing the videos, it absolutely makes sense that there would be that overlap by calling it Reunion.
Either that or Resurrection.
Final Fantasy VII Matrix. Rebuilt.
Yeah, or Recoil, which is my face recoiling after I see how much DLC they add to it afterwards.
No shit.
That's the thing, too. So
because they've charged you 4 times for the same game now.
and this is the thing, right? So they split this up into 3 entries, right? And that's fine.
No,
first one came out in 2020.
Don't say it's fine. Okay. That's not fine.
Okay. Fine. Allowable. It's not fine, but it's a thing. So 2020, first one comes out. 2024, we get the second one. we're probably going to get the third one. Let's be generous and say 3 years. I think it's probably be closer to 4 or 5, but say it's 3 years. That's got to be like the end of the console generation. Has to be. So do you think they're going to come immediately a year after and bring out all three and call it the Game of the Decade Edition, where it's all three in one with all the DLC and all the add-ons? No,
they're going to wait at least 2 years, then release the package set.
Yeah, they'll call it the Mortgage Edition.
The Mortgage, but also, the second house edition. The thing,
and I've said this since the beginning, because it's not a one-for-one remake. And I think if it had been, they could have done it as one release. But I think what they should do is when they release the perfect version, they need to have a version of it that is, you know, just the original. People, there are always rumors from right after the PS2 was announced where they're like, they're going to redo 7. It's been the only other rumor that has lasted longer than that is that you could have saved Aerith in the Aerith in the original one. So yeah. I really feel like it would be smart of them if they were like, oh, also there's a bonus thing where you can just play the original with the updated graphics.
I have a theory about that, which is going to be move us into spoiler territory later.
Okay,
on.
Well then I'll dial it.
So
back.
We'll hold off on spoilers until a little bit later on, but we will talk spoilers. We have to, because people need to know. People need to
this
know.
This game's been out for a while.
Yeah. If you haven't beaten it by now.
Yeah, we're not talking about Rebirth. Will. None of us have played Rebirth. We're just talking about the remake and our impressions of that, and whether we would think you should play Rebirth or go back to play Remake. So I'm going to say, you brought the point, GP, that it's not the original game. It's a re-envisioned version of the original. They padded it out, and that's the nice way of saying they padded it out. And I think the reason why is the investment in making all the assets for Midgar, which is barely used through the rest of the game. I think you go back in the third disc or something in the original, but you barely go back to Midgar once you've left it. It's almost the entirety of first disc, and then you leave and never come back. That's a lot of asset and a lot of work to just use it for 10 hours. I think so that's why they had to pad it out. And what is Remake? Churn, how long did it take you to beat Remake? 40 hours?
Yeah, I think that's about it. Yeah. That sounds about right.
Yeah.
I could grab my Steam Deck and verify, but I don't remember. It's about 40 hours.
So what was a 10 to 12 hour sequence in the original game is 40 hours in Remake.
Yeah, but you could have easily taken 10 to 15 hours out of that instead of wasting time with some of the things that they literally make you waste time doing. Honestly, I probably could have gone longer, but by the end of the game, I just wanted to finish it. So I didn't do any of the extra stuff. Because again, what you and I talked about, and we'll bring that up, Jake and I have been having a lot of Marco Polos about this game between one another. The things that you brought up made me not want to do any of the extra stuff. Like after we discussed it, I just wanted to finish it. And I played maybe about an hour of the integration DLC. So
that's the one with integrate. Yeah, with Yuffie.
Yep.
So we'll get to the DLC in a second. So yeah, so if they could have easily cut out all that added padded content, but then the game would only be maybe 20 hours tops. Would people have been happy with Final Fantasy VII Remake if it was only 20 hours long? What do you guys think?
Yeah, if you left Midgard and did the rest of the stuff that they didn't have to pad towards the end, yeah.
I think you could have ended entering Junin. I think would have been, if you remove some of the stuff you were talking about, some of the fluff from Midgar, then yeah, that's where I would have put it. Like, don't let it end after the calm flashbacks, etc. Do the Midgar Zolom, do the Chocobo introductions, go through the first like cave, and then find Yuffie organically the way you do in the original. I think if I had designed it, that's probably where I would have ended it. But for me, the big question is, at what point do you consider something like extraneous or fluff? Because some of the newer missions, like, you know, Jesse's house is absolutely relevant and important, you know. But then, like, some of the grocery getter things, maybe not so much.
Moogle medals.
That Moogle, I'm so filled with joy and happiness, Koopo. Now, okay, look, Jesse was fine. I didn't mind the Jesse stuff.
Okay.
I'll tell you where it lost me. I tried this game 2 or 3 times before I finally sat down and got through most of it. I did not finish it before the episode. But where I got hung up all 3 times initially was right when you're in Sector 7, I think it is, right? Where Tifa's bar is. Mm. And the first moment when they start giving you the side quests. They just pile them on. And I'm like, okay, maybe I'll do them. Maybe I won't. Or maybe I'll come back and do them. But then the game warns you twice. If you leave past this point and don't do the side quests, you might miss out on being able to do them at all. What the hell? That's what I quickly realized. And they repeat it throughout the entire game. There's like hubs, and in the hubs are side quests. And if you don't do the side quests right then and there, you miss out. That's what kind of went through me, especially when some of the side quests are things like, I've lost my cats. There's five cats. Go find my cats. They're not on the map. They're not on the map.
Yeah.
You got to go around town looking, listening for meowing of cats and try and find them all. What the hell is that? They accept just like utter crap.
That's real life finding cats.
Five cats? I got to find five cats?
You know how many cats I've lost and not found? Because I didn't care to look for them.
I'm an expert bounty hunter, for fuck's sakes. Why do I got to go around town finding cats? I got a huge ass sword. Am I cutting them up?
Bounty hunter. That's a pizza maker saying, why do I got to make all this damn pizza?
I had a dog who used to get out. He was a miniature greyhound. He used to get out of the house and bolt. And there was no catching him. He was a greyhound, right? You know what he did? He came home 2 hours later. Every time.
Where the food is.
And he'd bark at the door like, I'm here.
What? You guys quit chasing me again?
Cats don't always come back. Cats are assholes. They don't need you. Dogs will come home. Cats are like, maybe. But five cats, finding five cats. Even one of the other side quests is you had to, it was like some abandoned like courtyard area. You had to go there, kill some monster dogs, and then you had to leave and come back. Leave and come back. Like some of the side quests have this weird back and forth, and it's so frustrating. Like sometimes they'll be nice and they'll let you warp back to the quest giver so you can quickly cash it in. Great. Yeah. But a lot of them you have to repeat to go back to areas you already explored to kind of redo a side quest, and some of them are pretty tedious to get back to. And I found that really great, especially when there's not much reward item-wise, like very little reward. There's not much story or plot that goes with it. It really doesn't feel like there's a reason to do it or justification to do it that's fun, unless you just like the fetch quest, I guess. I don't know.
I mean, for Christ's sake, they automatically tell you, once you leave your little hovel apartment, let's go get work for you. Let's go get some jobs. You need to go work. Do I need to work? We got a plan to go work. What am I? That's like me driving to my job and they're like, you know what? You should deliver some pizzas on your way to work to work for the pizza people around you know who you are. I don't care if people know who the fuck I know. I don't care. I don't care.
If I may, let me, it seems like your guys' complaint obviously originates from the game, but earlier, Chard self-proclaimed that he and Jake have horrible FOMO, or fear of missing out. And then Jake goes on to say, the game tells you, hey, if you don't do this, you're going to miss out, which is what? What you're afraid of.
Yeah.
So I think maybe we should therapize this a little bit in another episode.
I'm going to tell you why I don't like
FF7 couch.
Right. Why I do have fear of missing out in those quests. You're right, GP. I do. And that's probably another reason why it bothers me, is because I don't like the idea of missing out something that could be important.
Yeah. Right.
And this comes from playing the original Final Fantasy games, where if you didn't explore, if you didn't steal from enemies, if you didn't do all the exploration, you missed out on some really great items, weapons, materia, all that kind of stuff. And that was my worry, right? That you're missing those. You could be missing that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We every time to completion. I get it.
All 5 minutes. Yeah.
There it is. Jeez.
But here's the thing. I then quickly realized, like, I kind of pushed past the first set of side quests. There's like four or five you have to do in that thing. I think I said no to the cats. I respect my time more than that. Not much more, but I moved past it. And then you have that guy named, was it Chardley? Chadley? I call him Chardley.
Chardley?
Thanks.
It's so bad, Jard. I do his stuff, but only because he follows you around, so you can repeat those whenever you want when you have time. But I did all that, and I moved to the next hub, and then it's the same idea with the next quest hub. More side quests. I did them. I kind of forced my way through them, and then it kind of dawned on me, hey, this game ends at some point, and then there's a four-year gap before the sequel comes out. What carries over from the first game to the sequel? How do they connect the two? Because that's always cool to me. Like, there are certain games like Was it the Quest? There's the Hero series, a Sierra old text adventure games or point and click games. Sinistar, if he was here, he would know.
But it carried
save files to the games.
Device right now,
or Mass Effect. Mass Effect 1, 2, and 3, stuff carries between the games, right? Not a lot, but enough carries through the games. So what carries between Final Fantasy VII Remake and Rebirth? Does it read your save file? Does it? You have to put a code in? Is it a password? What does it do? Is it saving from the cloud and grabbing it from the cloud? That'd be funny because your character's name is Cloud.
Yeah.
You know what carries from Final Fantasy VII Remake to Rebirth? Fucking nothing. Nothing you do in Rebirth in Remake channels into Rebirth. Not a goddamn thing. It's a completely standalone, separate game. I don't even know how they handle that. I even thought, okay, what about the leveling I'm doing? I'm making all these, I'm getting so many levels, GP. I'm like taking all materia, five-starring it. It's not duplicating, I don't think. That's okay. But I'm five-starring it. I'm maxing everything out. I got all these levels. All my weapons are being upgraded. That's got to make a difference in Final Fantasy Rebirth. No. Nothing. Yep. In fact, it even starts you at a lower level in Rebirth. It doesn't matter what you did in the first game. It's like nothing you did matters.
I can explain this, though. Think of it this way. Because you're losing the levels as you're traversing through the barrier of Midgar into the world. So in Kansas, I'm a Kansas 7, maybe a Kansas 8. But I'm like a California 2, maybe.
Okay.
That's being a generous, thing. So
you're definitely
it's that way too. Cloud's just out there going, I was the strongest one in Midgar. And everybody's like, fuck you, go fight that giant snake. And that's how it goes. I'm a California 2.
You're a California 6. California 2. At least.
Wow.
Oh, you're too kind. Oh. I'm joking. I'm being silly.
Everything's bigger in California. That's true.
Yeah, that was the thing that we talked about. That made me not do any of the side quests. And it's hilarious because if you don't do them all and you move on to the next thing, Barrett chimes in and says something like, man, I wish we could have helped all of those people back there. And I'd be like, no, we don't. We didn't do shit. Fucking use your grappling hook and climb this goddamn wall. Shut your goddamn mouth. Fucking stupid.
How many cats have to die, Cloud?
I don't. Yeah. I mean, it's so blatantly obvious that they were just trying to stretch time by adding all this stuff. I'm going to go on a small tirade. Jake, are you in a good position? I'm going to talk about some positive things. I want to talk about some positive things about the game, to be honest with you.
Positive. Okay.
There's a few. There are. There's I played it twice. I bounced off of it the first time. This could have been a perfect Sisyphean game for me because I spun off of it. And I was like, I want to finish it, but I spun off of it because I fucking hated it. And, the Honeybee Inn did not do itself any goddamn favors. Mark Hamill playing, the Don, which I still
choose your next words very carefully about Mark Hamill.
Really? He was the voice actor for the Don?
It sounds like him. Somebody trying to be him.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. It sounds like it. It sounds like the Joker. Like someone was doing their best Mark Hamill impersonation of. But the game is gorgeous. The game is stunning. From top to bottom, it looked great playing through on my Steam Deck. I played it on the PC and the PS5 version on my stuff, and it looks fucking amazing. The music, Final Fantasy VII soundtrack is a banger. I don't care what anybody says. You don't have to love the game either in the new form or the old form. Soundtrack is an absolute banger. I still find myself listening to that soundtrack, even though I don't love the game as much as the other ones. It's got a great tune. The music in this is like extra banger. It's really, really good. And it's got just like little hints where I love when musicians drop little like parts of previous songs in like a new song. Yeah. And it's like a callback, you're like, oh shit, it's the theme for Seven for like 2 seconds. And then it goes away and you're like, oh, I'm Jack now. This is cool. The motorcycle stuff I thought was neat. I like the added motorcycle things that they did in the game. I like the combat. I know it's very Kingdom Heartsy, but I still like the combat. I thought it was a lot of fun. At first, it was kind of the thing I didn't like about the combat was the ATB bar. You had to get that full to use items. Really? I have to have my ATB full to fucking drink a potion? That pissed me off. I didn't like that. Like for magic and attack, for magic and stuff, fine. But to use an item, like I played this game on easy because I just was trying to get through it. Because it is hard. Even on normal mode, this game is very difficult. Fighting the terror house or the murder house or whatever that you fight in Wall Market, that fight's hard as shit on normal. But this game is super easy on easy. It's kind of a breeze to walk
through. Yeah, it's dramatically easier, which is interesting.
But I just wanted to get the story. Like, I wasn't in it for the challenge. I wasn't in for anything. The game's got some good points, but it just, there's too much. I don't care about Jesse. I really wish Wedge had died at some point in the game. Spoiler. I can't stand him. I can't stand him. At least, you know, Biggs was there doing his thing. He was a little annoying, but he wasn't like up my ass like Jesse was. Like, I seriously had to shift where how I was sitting because she would not get off my ass. I couldn't stand that character. It was super annoying. And I'm not, apparently, I have found out by playing this that I am not a huge anime fan because I cannot stand all the anime tropes in this goddamn game.
They went way too hard on the anime tropes.
Way hard on the anime tropes. Way too much. And I was like,
way
cringe.
Too hard. Like,
there was points where I just muted the game. And just sped through the stuff. Because I just was just like, I'm like, okay, I get it. I get it. It's an anime. Yeah. And the, yeah. I just couldn't. I
but
couldn't
the original anymore. Had that too, right? The original had the same emotions.
Yeah, but they were blocks, and they were, they didn't have
yeah, they were polygons.
You know,
they had and they didn't speak. Hands. There was
so
no
your
voicing.
Issue is
no
the graphics. Voicing. You don't like how good the graphics are.
I love the graphics.
Understood.
No, the graphics are fantastic. Right. I don't like the speaking. There's too much talky-talky.
Yeah.
You know, it's great, but I mean, the characters' voices are just overdone. It's like, way overdone for the characters they're playing. Like, I don't know. If you were in, like, a dramatic company, they'd be like, tone it down, dude. Okay? If this was a production on Broadway, yeah, someone would say,
now,
yeah, pull it back just a touch.
I'm going to devil's advocate this. I think part of the reason they over-talk everybody is to help illustrate how little Cloud likes to talk and like be around people. I think it's to kind of, you know, you can't
it's
scale
to really
him back
make you feel like Cloud.
That's yeah. Huh? I made that discussion. I made that difference of like, I know how Cloud feels about people now and I hate them all. So I get it. Is this game trying to make me connect as the main character? Because it's doing a great job.
That's true. I feel more like I like Cloud more in this than I did the original.
Yeah.
Right. Sorry,
Wes. I hated him in
this
one.
He's not a good protagonist. Yeah.
I don't like him in either one. But for me, I feel like they took every single character and just made them more a caricature of the character they were.
Yeah.
And
sure.
So Aeris is like, I didn't mind Aeris in the original. I knew people who were like, good, I'm glad she's dead. And
wow.
Which is wow.
Like, but Cloud comes down and does that, and people are like, fucking finally.
Like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I've been waiting for that the whole game. I didn't think they
yeah,
did.
I know people that are like that, but I liked Aeris in the original. I didn't mind her at all.
Right. She was the least offensive person.
Cloud
ever.
Was okay. In this one, I feel like Aeris is just obnoxiously positive about everything.
It's gross.
Too much. And Cloud is like even more obnoxiously distanced from everybody. Instead of just like standing there and being quiet, he's actively standoffish. So he's even less likable this time. Yeah. Barrett, I wish they hadn't leaned so much into the stereotype of who his character is. Because otherwise, I like him.
Yeah.
But they lean too hard into like, he's the Mr. T. It's like, okay.
I'm angry all the time, and I don't know why.
I'm angry.
Marlene.
I love it when a player comes together.
The original one, he has probably
Barrett
the
is
best
like,
character arc.
Barrett is one of the best characters in the original.
There you go.
He's one of the most likable, one of the most passionate, one of the most loving characters in that game.
Likable? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everything he starts off
does,
the game as a terrorist.
He's
blowing
doing
up things
for his daughter.
He's a really shitty terrorist, though.
Yeah. He's murdering for the children. That's,
for the, yeah,
that's
sure.
The
no,
important
no, no,
takeaway.
Of course. Which you talk about characters just being bigger versions of themselves. Oh my God, Marlene, just shut the fuck up. Guys.
And Tifa in this, she was fine. I didn't care one way or the other, honestly.
They
but like.
They enhanced her attributes.
Like Chard said, they
like
stick you in these points where they're like, walk around, get to know people, care about the world. And I'm like,
no,
this was a fraction of the original game. I'm not going to care about these people.
Thank you.
You didn't even give us this guy R6. Like, I don't care.
Was he not somewhere, an NPC somewhere that that said close to that line?
It was probably
maybe not, I guess.
The redheaded
guys, I feel, are represented well in the remake, in the game itself, as the whispers, the arbiters of fate. You guys are the little cloud wisps saying, no, 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 stay on the original timeline that we liked. Please. And I'm over here just like, fuck, let's just do all the things. Let's see what's up. Let's tempt fate together, shall we? Marlene.
Let me say, though, I actually liked the added content up on the top plate where you go to Jesse's parents' house. That was cool to me. I liked that part. Neat. I know Chard hated it. I enjoyed it. I thought it was cool. It gave us a little more insight with Jesse, Biggs, and Wedge, and I was okay with that. It's a little weird, again, that they were, like, troped to hell. Like, we're, I don't know why Wedge is Charlie Sheen, but...
Right. Let's have pizza on the plate.
But and then I can't imagine a better voice actor for Biggs, honestly. Getting Badger from Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
Oh, is it the same actor?
Yeah.
Here's what I want.
That's awesome. Okay.
I want Chard, if you ever have time, just redo some of the script as you would write it, because here's what I would like. I would like there to be a scene that Chard writes where Cloud is talking to Wedge. And at some point when Wedge is talking, Cloud just bucks up and says, you know, I would have killed you off by now.
Yeah.
Because that's...
I'd be Sephiroth with the sword behind Wedge. That would be... That's me going, finally!
Just from the sky.
Yeah, we would wait for that forever.
Maybe wanna, if somebody's listening and you're good with fan art, can we put in Chard's face on Sephiroth's body and then put Biggs' face on Aerith's body?
I can't stand it.
It'd be great.
It's dead. He survived.
I'm gonna say that the script felt fairly accurate to the original game. When I played the original game not too long ago, I didn't finish it, but I got a good chunk through Midgar. The dialogue in that game was cheesy. It's always been cheesy, and it's fine. It's a JRPG from the 90s. That's what they were written like, and it's fine. And they just captured that story fairly well. But the voice acting just makes it so you understand how cringy that dialogue is. It's like Canadian television. That's what it feels like. Cheesy ass script, awful acting. I'm sorry, I'm Canadian, but our acting a lot of times sucks. Low budget performances. I hated it. Barrett, I mean, it's not Degrassi. What can I say? Sorry, Drake. But I love Barrett, the character, like Wolf, but the voice actor was leaning heavily into the stereotypes. That was uncomfortable. I didn't care for it. Aerith was, like you said, very annoying, and it's very apparent. I don't know. Like, a lot of the dialogue wouldn't have been so bad if it wasn't voiced. And it's frustrating, because my biggest complaint with Nintendo recently is they never voice any of their games. They have all these great Pokemon games, and they never voice them. I think now I've changed my mind. I never want to hear a voice in Pokemon, because I'm probably going to have this same problem that I do with Final Fantasy VII. It doesn't fit. It doesn't work for my brain. I don't like it at all.
Right.
So, and it's just weird. But you know what? I also don't like the voiceover in a lot of Final Fantasy games. Like, all the modern ones, 15, didn't like the voices either. Even 14, can't stand the voice acting in 14. Especially when they change the countries or where the actors are from out of nowhere. Yeah. But I've never liked voice acting in JRPGs. It just doesn't fit with me. And that's probably because of my childhood with unvoiced games, maybe. I don't know.
Do you know who did the voice of Pikachu in Detective Pikachu?
It wasn't Danny DeVito.
It was Ryan Reynolds. I think if you're wanting fine live action Canadian acting, you need to watch Dogma. At the end, Alanis Morissette as God says nothing, nails it.
Yeah,
nails it.
Alanis, if you're watching,
you're defending his argument though about voice acting.
I'm just trying to steer him in a productive, positive direction, because I worry about you guys. I do.
You worry about us? Listen, so I'm not as bad as Jake about the voice acting thing. I thought the voice acting in 10 was great. I like 15, although I don't care for the plot. But 15 was great.
Oh my god!
You're missing the point of that moment.
We'll cover that at a later date, sir.
Yeah, that's a different episode.
We've covered it numerous times on this already.
I know.
Can it be the April 1st episode of next year? We just talk about the ha 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 from 10.
For an hour. We could cover it in an hour.
We can do it. I believe
I like 16's voice acting. I like the acting in 14. I think all of that's pretty spot on. The only one that I'm not a big fan of is 12, because of the fucking "I am von Rostenberg" or whatever the fucking shouting part. "I am Captain Bosch." I hate that shit. But oh my God. Game to me, just it's everything is just forced. You're forced to like people that you don't necessarily want to like. I don't care that these people live in a slum. I'm sorry. I'm sorry that you lost your five cats. I'm sorry. I really am. But you know what I want to do?
So much privilege.
I want to go fight. Yeah, it's total. This is total first world fucking waspy problems. I want to go take on Shinra. I don't want to go pick flowers in a garden. I don't want to find some kid who's dressed. Why is the kid dressed as a Moogle? Why aren't Moogles real?
Yeah.
Like, why aren't they there? I don't understand why they're like, well, they're not real, but I'm here dressed as one. That doesn't make sense. There are creatures.
Your random cosplay when people around you are dying of hunger and the slums around you, and you're dressed up in a pristine white Moogle costume. For fuck's sakes, share the wealth, Kubo. Give us the money.
In the slums, there is not a lot of hope. This little kid in his pristine white Moogle costume.
It's real clean. You
know, let it be, you know, let him shine.
Beatles would say, let it be.
He might be the savior of the slums. We don't know.
In a game, like an RPG, I hate feeling forced to do anything, especially when they claim that it's kind of open worldy, but it's
they
not.
They ask you if you want to save the cats. You can say no.
I did. I said, I hope they all drowned. I hope someone got them in a, someone put them in a pillowcase.
Not only did you decline, you made it clear that you would assist in their demise.
I don't want to do other people's work when I'm supposed to be fighting a bigger evil. I don't understand.
I get you. Yeah. No. You're out there rescuing cats, but you know what's going to happen, what's coming down, and you want to get to it. I can understand that.
Bigger fish to fry than some cats lost in a bag.
The original game was, you know, we're activists and we're out to stop Shinra from destroying the world, not... But this again, is the this big is story, but you get to be a task rabbit for more than half the game.
And I agree, that stuff is overdone, but again, this is not Final Fantasy VII, the original. Is that what you guys were wanting?
No, but yeah, it should, but it...
Okay.
Why is it there?
If they were just going to do a graphical update, they did not need to wait this long to do it. They could have done that on the PS3 and it would have been great. I think it's great that this is not that same game. There's enough there that you understand and recognize it. But the fact that you're veering off into a new timeline and the way they handle that, I thought was wonderful. I agree the task stuff is a bit much, considering, you know, how far they took you in the game or how far they didn't take you in the game. But I don't want to play Final Fantasy VII with newer graphics. I already have Final Fantasy VII. I've played that. I have a brain to help me with the graphics. I grew up playing NES and Super Nintendo games. I don't mind making that leap in my brain. So
GP, I agree with you. I am totally okay with, here's a new version of the story. It's not the same stuff you've been dealing with for 10, 15 years. It's a new rendition. I love that stuff. All on board for the Cowboy Bebop live action because it changed things up. I was ready for it. Everybody else was like, what the fuck? But of course, those same people are like, yes, absolutely, with Final Fantasy VII.
Of course. Right.
So here's the part where it lost.
Although they did
Hold on. If you're gonna change things up and make the game longer, make it also fun and tolerable at best.
Thanks.
Make it good.
Thank you. I get you.
I felt like this game was too much toe in. We want to try something new and different and toe in. We don't want to push away the people that love the old stuff. So we can't. There were times where it felt like, we're going to change this. I know people are going to get mad. Steer it back. Let's throw some spirits in there. Let's throw some ghosts in there to make it seem like we're trying to steer it away. But they're trying to put it on that. That'll be our cover up. It's like fucking guardian forces making people forget that they're friends growing up. Stupid. Fucking
no, I think,
so here's where it lost me. Here's where it lost me. I have to say this. When I finally was playing Remake and I got to a point where I'm like, you know what? Now it's getting good. Now it's getting interesting. Now things are hitting the fan. And it was a sequence where you had to go to the support underneath the plate, and because Shinra was going to drop the plate down and crush Sector 7. that moment was amazing in the original game. It was compelling. It was just chilling. That I was looking forward to in a remake. And when I saw what that was kind of leading toward that direction, I'm like, I told Chard and MP, I'm like, all right, I'm at the plate falling. It's going to be great. But I feel like every time that roller coaster is starting to go, they'd add a hill and they'd slow you down. Like the whole sequence where it cuts away to Aerith having to go find Marlene, which makes no sense because she doesn't know who Marlene is. But Tifa's like, go find Marlene. But it breaks up. The momentum was kill GP. It was crushed. Yeah. Like even when I'm going to get Marlene, I'm like, all right, I'm going to go get Marlene. It'll be five minutes. I'll get Marlene.
You can't run.
Fucking 40 minutes later, and I can't go past the burning helicopter. I have to go around the helicopter. Why? Because they need to buy another 20 minutes of gameplay for some reason. Yeah. And like, I don't mind that they added the rescuing of Marlene, because that was always a weird thing in the original, and that makes sense. But why does it have to take 40 minutes to go get her when it's a five-minute side sequence?
This is going to wait into... Yeah, they want to show off. Look at how good we've made this. But this is going to go into spoiler territory. Is this okay?
Let's do it.
Okay, so I think at this point, there's story stuff that we want spoiled, stuff that's different in remake that was not in the original. So if you are not into spoilers, please, I mean, we're sorry.
Yeah. Okay, so here's the thing. Sephiroth is, from what I can tell, this is my interpretation of this, acutely aware of the fact that he is trying to accomplish something that will make him all-powerful. But he is also aware that he can deviate this timeline because his original plan, as he's going down, it will fail. Now, he and Aerith are connected as ancients or as whatever their relation is. And they were originally going to be like cousins or something like that in the original version of Final Fantasy VII. That's why they look so similar in their character design. I'm sure you guys know that. Aerith, I posit, is also aware of the timeline because she makes mention of, you know, thanking Cloud for the memories, even though they've only known each other for a little while. All these things. She finishes a sentence about, you want me to go save Marlene? She doesn't know who Marlene is. It's because she's already lived through this, or she is aware of it, or she's from that original timeline but was brought over with Sephiroth when he came over. So there are other plot points by the time you finish that if you look back and you look at the main beats of the story, I think it's insanely well done, provided they execute it well in the next one. Now, I haven't played moment one of Rebirth. I've only done Remake.
Right.
So there's still some things I don't know about, but where it leaves you at the end of Remake is so like, what the fuck, but still very, very cool. That's as much as I'll go into now. If other things get brought up, I'll add to it, but I don't want to ruin things.
Yeah, because I didn't finish it. I think I finished off, the plate fell, and I'm with Barrett, and the first thing he basically said was, there's a lot of people we could help, and I'm like, fuck you. I kind of turned it off. I'm going to finish it, but the fact that they took like such a wild ride with the plate falling and all that stuff, and then immediately goes into, oh, it's a quest hub, go save people, it kind of killed momentum with the game.
Yeah, I just
and I went and played Balatro for 5 hours.
They were
hours.
Like, please help, my legs caught underneath this thing, and I was like, fuck you, I'm going to Shinra.
You know what it was, Chard? As I told you, is at that point is when I realized
you can't get
all the items I may get from these quests, I may find, a material I may find, none of it carries over to a sequel, so why am I wasting time in the last couple hours to find this shit?
I went and looked up what you get for the missions just to see if I didn't already have some of them or if there was like an ultimate weapon or something in there, and there wasn't anything really worth spending another 5 hours for me to not use in the next game. So I was like, I want to see where this is going to go. The final fight of this game is so fucking bizarre, and I don't care for it. It's MCUing me. It's totally taking time travel, and instead of using the time stone to time travel, they use quantum mechanics to time travel.
No.
Anyways, you shut your mouth.
If anything, they're back.
Yes,
to the
they
future.
Are. They're taking a story and they're like, we're going to make it so that we're changing it, but then we're going to put this cool little spin so it looks like we're going to try and keep it the same. And then they're going to have a big boss battle with the fucking Fates. What?
Okay, but do you realize who the Fates are? Who those three Fates are?
Yeah, it's fucking nobody's from Kingdom Hearts. That's who it is.
No. No, there's a guy with a gun, a guy with a sword, and somebody with their fists. That's Barrett, Cloud, and Tifa from the future timelines.
It's dumb.
So here's the thing. So I never finished it. So I don't mind the spoilers. It's fine. So they have to justify how this is different from the original. So they're doing this with a multiverse storyline.
I feel like they're doing a multiverse thing. And this is my big spoiler, but this is all speculation for me. I think they're not going to kill Aerith. I mean, they're going to keep her ass alive. And I think
because Zach,
either Zach or what, or because she is so loved and everybody's like, man, I wish we could save her. They're going to save her in the third one. And it's going to, we're going to get to that scene where Sephiroth's flying down with a sword and something's going to happen. He goes, oh, Cloud had a vision and he saw it coming. We save her so that she could be fuck. That's, I guarantee you that's going to happen.
The bravest thing they could do is replace Aerith with Cloud in that scene and take the blade. That would instantly get me on board. If Cloud dies in her place, that would fucking be amazing. But they're not going to do that.
Yes, if we're talking like Star Trek, like mix up where Chris Pine was dead instead of Spock, but it was still the same thing. It was just switched places from one reason or another because the timeline was fucked up. I'm in on that.
Yeah.
If somebody dies because they stabbed Aerith in Shinra Tower, but who saved him? The fucking fate saved him. Well, fuck you, man. Like, just
Barrett's the main character of Seven, like in the original one. I understand you're playing as Cloud, but Barrett is the main character of the original Seven. If you were to kill him off, if they had left him dead,
if they wiped him out early on,
think of all the things that wouldn't have happened.
If they wiped him out early on, would have been on board. And not because they got rid of him and I don't like him as a character, but because they changed something so drastic that I'd be like, oh, okay, this is interesting. Because they're not, again, to me, this is totally my feeling, that they are... They got one toe in the old pool and one toe in the new pool, and they cannot commit to either one. And it feels like that when they keep dragging you to what could be something cool and new, they throw the stupid fucking phantoms in there and they bring it back. And it's just like, no, we can't do that.
And
what do you got, Will?
To your point, Chard, I have a theory that they're actually going to not have Aerith die at the part where Sephiroth drops down with the sword. I think she's not going to die for a few hours. I think they're going to kill her later. I think she's still going to die.
Final Destination?
All right. Yeah.
Final Destination, Final Fantasy.
There you go.
There's
Fantasy Destination.
There's a thought exercise involving fate and billiard balls. I'm not going to go deep into it, but basically the idea is if time travel were real, more than likely you could change a few things, but the universe or whatever will end up course correcting so that the main plot points of whatever is supposed to happen will happen. It was kind of this thing so they could try to explain the grandfather paradox, yada, yada, yada. It's boring. So I'm kind of with Wolf on that one. And Shard by extension. I think they're going to give you the option of saving Aerith, but I think somebody still has to go, and likely Zach or Aerith will be taken out later on, if not both.
If they did
Zach, it wouldn't be nearly as impactful because nobody gives a fuck about Zach. He's barely in the original.
If you give
me a
Mass Effect type option where my decisions throughout the game would make claim to some party member. Like, some party member has to go. Also, speaking of party members, this is a total tangent, but why the fuck is it Red 13 playable in the first one? Why is he only running around with you? Because I love that character and his design in the game is sick.
Great.
And then you can't play him until Rebirth. That was horseshit. Anyways, if you take out a character with your choices that you've made up into three, that would be... okay, that would be kind of cool. Oh, fuck. I kill Kate Sith, which nobody likes anyway, so it's fine. Or, oh, fuck. I kill Vincent. I didn't mean to do that. Like, if someone goes, but you have the option of who it is that's going to go, since we're playing with the fates here, right? We have the option to change things if we want to. Someone has to go. I think Jake's idea of, like, Cloud swapping with Aerith.
That would be so good.
Would be awesome. That would be a trip and a half. Because
then you could have Zach, who's an actual interesting, great, heroic protagonist, take what would have been his spot.
Why
anyway.
Do you say that, though, GP? Because I've not played the five spinoffs of Final Fantasy VII. Is that why you like the character? Because in the original game, he was barely in it.
Yeah, no, I agree. The way that he was done, especially like I watched playthroughs of Crisis Core, so full disclosure, I myself did not play it. But the way that he is portrayed and built up in Crisis Core, including the ending FMVs, and again, I don't want to say much because there's some big things coming for you, Jake. He's just this really good, interesting protagonist who does the hero thing without being overly cheesy or overly archetyped, if that makes sense. Okay. I'll say it this way. If you go and play Crisis Core, if you go and watch the FMVs, there's a spot at the end of Crisis Core, and the way they did this is brilliant. Because they did the remake or the remaster of Crisis Core. He's standing there, and he sees this hill full of people who are trying to kill him. And he says something to the effect of, the price of whatever is real steep. The price of freedom or whatever is real steep. But he sounds in Crisis Core like, I'm about to go kill all these guys because that's what I got to do to save Cloud. But then in this one, they have the actor say the line a little bit different. And that kind of starts to mark the deviation. And it's more this like, you know, he knows he's probably going to die, but he's still got to try. And it's like, ugh. And I don't know, just small shit like that, especially if you're familiar with the character and who he is and how he's been built up. He's so much better than Cloud, in my opinion, which is very correct. So that's why, in a nutshell, stuff like that. He's awesome without being a dick or without being cocky. He's just doing the right thing because it's the right thing. And he can identify that.
I mean, we've said before on this podcast, Cloud is pretty much a low tier when it comes to personality. Like, I don't think many people like the character. So it's, I'm glad Zach is better than Cloud, but I mean, low bar is low.
The best thing that ever happened to make Cloud seem interesting was Squall from 8. So I'll say it that way.
Nice. True. Yeah.
Good callback.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We're dropping a lot of hate on 8 without anybody knowing right now. I love it.
Well, what can we say about 8 that hadn't already been said? So,
that's
but
true.
Anyway, so I'm excited. When I, 2 years ago, and you guys rightfully kind of lampooned me for this, we were doing Game of the Year, and I had chosen Final Fantasy VII Remake, even though I had not yet finished it. But it to what Chard's saying, because he's right, but I'm just on the opposite side of that coin, they are walking a very fine line between, here's some new shit with the old shit that you like, but we can't also completely do away with the old shit.
Right.
So in a way, it's a fine line, or it's a completely unwinnable battle, depending on your outlook on life.
I want to agree with you and talking this through more, and again, playing it again and giving it another shot, I can see where GP's at on the positive side of the fence, because it's, they could be, maybe they were testing the waters, you know, because they didn't know if they were going to make any more of the remake. Maybe they had plans on doing it. I don't know. But they were probably maybe feeling, well, let's feel this out. Let's see if people are going to be okay if we kind of go full Inception on this thing. And, you know, we're going to go into the third dream and make sure everybody's cool with that before we, you know, I don't know. It just seemed to me when I first played it, knowing that it wasn't going to be the same thing. I had no expectations of going and going, this is going to be the same thing. But what bothered me was that it was the same thing with different shit in it. It wasn't different enough, and it wasn't similar enough for me to be like, this is really cool. Dead Space Remake was perfect in the idea that it was the same thing with different stuff in it, but it still was good to the source material throughout the rest of the game. Yeah. Saddened to hear there's no Dead Space 2 remake coming out. That makes me very upset. But
yeah,
with this, it was like, I'm interested to see, like, because we're talking like a magnifying glass on what's going on in Midgar, as opposed to the overview of the whole world, right? And right. The spreading things out and all that stuff. We are really getting into the weeds on what's going on in Midgar and what he had to deal with to go through it. And some of it was pretty cool to see, like, a more in-depth version of the playground. And maybe I hated the whole Walmart. I hate Walmart.
Sponsors.
Pretty accurate. That's a Freudian right there. But I didn't care for any of that. I thought the honey bee in dance scene was completely ridiculous and not needed. There's a lot of mini games in there. Now, I know you could snowboard in the original and you ride the bike and all that stuff with the original. That's fine. But it felt like those were choices that I could be like, I just don't feel like doing that. This was like, you have to do this to get on to the next damn thing. And it was goofy, but it wasn't goofy. Like, it was tedious. Yes. It was tedious and boring.
I'm with you.
And I really either want them to go way right or way left. I don't like this walking down a corridor and kind of veering back and forth. I'm like Wolf, like commit to something different, or like Jake, commit to the original and just do it the best you can. Like I want something to be so big. Right. In Rebirth, that just flips the script on me so hard that I'm like, okay,
that's make it consequential.
Exactly.
Right.
Make it stick, yeah.
But what I was saying in the beginning of the episode was, if they did, I mean, Sinister brought, I think last week, actually, Diablo 2 Resurrection Edition, or what the hell it was basically a remaster of the original D2. And the neat thing with that was, it was the same game with a better engine of graphics on top of it. And you could actually flip between the old style and the new style. The original Final Fantasy VII, if you go back to it today, the graphics are rough. Right. Yeah, I mean, there's great nostalgia glasses when I think of that game. It does not look like the cutscenes you remember. It's very low poly. So if they'd taken the original and just redone all the 3D graphics and the backgrounds and done that, I would have enjoyed it. But there's no way that I would have enjoyed it if it was still split into three parts. And Square wouldn't have made as much money. And I think net number of fans would probably be upset with it.
They're not even making all that much money off of this one. Apparently, Rebirth is not selling as well as they'd hoped it would. Well, it's not selling nearly as well as the first one.
I wonder why.
It's sold, I think, 3 million, I think, is what it was. It's either 2 million, and then 16 has sold 3 million. But, I mean, it's only on fucking PlayStation 5.
Right. That's the big part.
Everybody's waiting for the PC release.
We're sitting here talking about it, so it's going to see the Balatro bump. And so they can look forward to that.
Welcome,
but, you know, like you said, kind of toward the top of the episode, the critical reception of this one's been quite a bit better than the first one. I guess, you know, the second one that came out was doing better than the first. So if the numbers aren't there yet, I imagine they'll see it either when they come out with the Ultimate Edition. I think that one will probably sell like hotcakes, especially if they stick the landing with whatever the third installment will be. But I'm with you. I wouldn't mind having... This is going to sound hypocritical, a graphical remake of the first one. But again, if that's all they were going to do, I would be a little bit let down. Was the first one overly artificially inflated? Absolutely.
I mean, there's so many mods out there that people have on their on their games that make it look good. I've seen people with retro sexual plays, some really cool mods that make the game look really good. They took 8 and they made a remastered version of 8 that actually cleaned it up very nicely for being a piece of shit. I mean, you can polish a turd. It's shiny, but it's still a shit bag. Take that and put it into fucking 7 and just do that.
But
I mean,
I don't think that's enough. Yeah, think about what 7 is. You can do that with 8 because of what 8 was. And I'm sorry, I know I'm talking too much.
No, you're right.
But well, okay, here's a great example. Here's the difference between Final Fantasy 4 and Final Fantasy 7. They did the DS remake of 4, they did the voice acting, which is fantastic. They did the augment system, and they did a few extra, you know, super bosses and things like that. But the story stayed what it has been.
Right.
For better or for worse, they gave you some new game plus, you know, replay values, and that's great. But 7 was such a fucking phenomenon culturally, globally, video game-wise, that if you were just going to do that with 7... remake it, up the graphics, do voice acting, and then maybe do something equivalent to the augment system, I don't think that would have really been as satisfying. What they're doing here is that big swing for the fences chart that you're saying you want them to do.
Right.
They just keep retconning things as soon as anything big happens. Right. But the cliffhanger there, again, that is a tremendous thing that I feel will stick.
Yeah. So
we haven't actually talked to, I mean, we're going along in this episode, but I just wanted to touch on the gameplay aspects of the remake. I don't like what they did with the materia system. I don't. My favorite thing of JRPGs in the last 30 years, maybe the job system was number one for a while, but I think number one is materia system from Final Fantasy VII. I love the idea of equipping stones on characters and gives them spells. I love that you can upgrade those spells, like update those materia, get more spells.
Well,
okay, not nearly as good as 7, though, right? But the customization of 7 is what sold me on that game. Not espers are nowhere near materia. Come on, be real.
I like materia.
How do you learn spells? I like materia a lot.
I like materia in 7 a
lot.
Another
episode.
But in this one, I found a lot of materia were lacking or didn't really do a whole lot. The fact that I don't even think they split when you max them out, which there's no point displaying them because it's such a smaller piece of the overall game. But like even the summoning materia, which in the original game was like the centerpiece of the graphic showcase, right? Seeing fucking the summons appear on the screen.
Yeah.
In this game, they're few and far between. I mean, maybe you could spam them too much in the original and they had to like spread it out. I get it. But I feel like I've seen a Shiva like twice in my playthrough so far. I haven't even bothered summoning Mog and Chocobo because you get so few chances to summon things. it feels like a waste not to use the one I think is great for that encounter. So I've just been using Ifrit and Shiva. And I bought the integrated edition when I got this. So I have a few integrate only material that you get, yeah, you for get, free.
Like, Fat Chocobo and then
something. And like else. Cactar or something. Yeah, and Cactar. I never bothered equipping them, thinking like, oh, you know, maybe I'll wait because I'm sure there's dozens of other summons to find and I'll use those. No, there's like three or four. And you don't even find them really in the map very much. I think there's one you find on the map. The rest you get from fucking Chardly. Sorry, Chard. And that's where, and then that's it, right? It feels like.
In fairness,
like,
though, in the original PlayStation 1, there were zero summons in Midgar. You didn't get the first one until the Chocobo form.
Is that true? Really? You don't get them at all? Okay.
Yep. First one was Chocobo. Right. Anyway, but again, that's devil's advocate.
Yeah.
I get you. Gameplay wise, as somebody who. This is the most recent game that I've played by a long shot. So. Really, this is light years ahead of what I was doing. So I like it because it's novel to me and I think it's great. But again, I'm out of my depth with that. So
yeah, like I didn't mind the action-y combat because I'm actually 15 got a lot of hate when that came out. And there's a lot of criticisms I have about that game, but I actually like the combat in it.
Yeah.
And there's definitely elements of 15's combat in 7 Remake. And I think that's fine. I like the action-y combat. I like the dodging. I like the defense. I like all that stuff. But I'm with Chard when he said earlier, the ATB gauge, it doesn't go up unless you're actively controlling that character, which means you have two people following you around who almost never use their abilities. It doesn't feel like it's been tweaked enough. Mm-hmm. Like, I see what they're trying to do to change this to make it more of a modern spin on RPGs. But I feel like they focus more on padding out Midgar and the plot and the story, and they didn't give enough attention to the actual gameplay mechanics. Maybe that's different in Rebirth. I've heard gold saucers in Rebirth, so maybe there's more gameplay and fun stuff mechanic-wise. But I really feel like 7 Remake, if you're playing Remake, you're just playing for the story, and you just shove it on easy because there's nothing engaging in the gameplay for me.
Yep. And that, all of that, from someone who just flipped it to easy and just played it just to finish it, all of that is true. Because I just wanted to get it done. Like, I didn't feel there was anything that was going to grip me and bring me in. When I continued playing it, it was more or less, I got to get this done because I want to be able to talk about it in confidence next week. Not, oh, I really want to play this because I want to know what happens. Like, I went to the Ghost Train Yard and I was like, can this game be over? Please.
Yeah. Can I just find the way out of this fucking train yard, please? Yeah. I kept telling my kids, daddy's gonna make dinner and like give me like 15 minutes. I'm almost at the end of the train graveyard. I'm 15 minutes, you have dinner.
Nope.
Fucking 2 hours later, my children are at the table screaming and crying and cold and hungry because Final Fantasy VII Remake made me not make dinner on time. It's stupid.
It's just, let's really get down to the nitty gritty on this.
No, like, seriously, but there's so many moments in this game where it's just like, okay, I'm gonna wrap up this chapter now. I can see where they're going. Okay. Oh, no. There's 3 hours of fluff. And I don't know.
I'm lost because the map doesn't make any goddamn sense in this area either.
The map is awful. The map is fucking awful.
Map is terrible.
I don't know. I didn't want to end on bad notes, though, with this game. Like, maybe we can pull out. Is there like a scene or a part of this game that you really liked when you played through it?
Hold on. I have one more thing I wanted to say here. I used to say I firmly believe that if all things were equal, FF6 is the better game than FF7. And I used to say that FF6 was more deserving of this remake treatment than 7. However, given how they've handled 7, I hope they just never bother with remaking 6.
Or Chrono Trigger.
I don't want to see 6. I don't want to see 6. Fall victim to all these anime tropes that they wanted to just shove into 7. I don't want to see 6 split into 2 games. I don't want to see 6.
They'd figure it out.
All of a sudden, like, have a love story for Leo out of nowhere before he dies. You know, I don't want any of that.
Right.
Now, I think if they redo 6 or 5, they'll do it the way they did 4.
I would be okay with that.
Let's just do a pixel remaster.
Or the DS version you're talking about,
DS remix.
Like the 3D.
Yeah, okay. And voice acting and stuff like that. I think voice acting on 6, if they nail that like they did 4, it'd be amazing. It'd be the best entry, probably, in my opinion, of all of them. But anyway.
But
there's a lot of great story beats in 6 that I would love to see. I would love to see an animated movie of Six more than in a fucking game, I think, is what I want. Although I got to be careful what I wish for, because we had Advent Children to plague that. So I don't want that kind of situation.
It had a good soundtrack, and at
it,
least.
It is easy to really crap on Final Fantasy VII Remake. Like, oh yeah, it's the first 8 to 10 hours of the game turned into a 40 to 60 hour game, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In all fairness, Midgar is about 30% of the original Final Fantasy VII script. Unfortunately, it's also the least interesting part of the game.
Yeah.
So when you're like, let's take the boring part and make it more of a drag. That's kind of how VII Remake came to me. Now,
that's a really good way of saying that, yeah.
But my buddy, he absolutely loves it. And more power to him. Like, if you love this game, it's not for me.
Right.
I think they made mistakes. If you enjoyed it, great. Rebirth apparently does a lot of the same, but it's even longer. He's
like 90 hours.
Last time he checked the clock, he's at endgame at 160 hours.
Oh my god. Ooh.
And he's played it a lot since he last checked that clock to update me. So, and still hasn't beaten me.
I'm glad I have.
There's a lot of side quests and mini games in Rebirth, I've heard, though, right? Like Gold Saucer, there's a card mini game.
He actually said that they went a little too hard on the amount of mini games in Rebirth.
Okay.
Well, that's fair. But there's stuff that, like, I don't know. I should calm it down. I'll say this. I like what they're doing with the story. I've enjoyed the gameplay. Is Remake at the top of my list for games I want to go back and do again? No. But I'm excited to try Rebirth for no other reason than watching Diamond Weapon approach Midgar. Like, I can't even fathom how amazingly cool that thing is going to be.
I feel like that would be pretty neat. I had forgotten about it because, I mean, it's like Wolf said, it's so like compacted that there's so much cool shit that happens outside of that area when you get into the, 30% of the game and then you don't hear the opening track. Like, you don't hear the theme song for Final Fantasy VII until you leave Midgar, and how many 10 hours in, then I get to listen to the theme song. You know, it's silly, but I mean, that's how the game was designed. It's fine.
Yeah,
but I mean, to think of any of the weapons, and you have to fight Ruby Weapon and all that stuff, like if you choose to, or going underwater and fighting Emerald Weapon and all that stuff, that seems like that would be cool.
Hopefully it's in there.
And that's my worry, is that the Fates thing gives them the luxury to just wipe shit out that didn't happen.
You know how they're going to do it? I can tell you how. I bet you I know how they're going to do it. They're going to have those encounters. They're going to be with fucking Chardley. They're going to be VR missions. You're popping those goggles and you're going to fight Emerald Weapon and you're going to do that battle and you're going to get some kind of Mickey Mouse summon afterwards. That's how they're going to do it. I don't see them building out an additional area in sequence and quests to go find the weapons and take them down. I think they're just VR missions. That's what I think they're going
to
do.
I would hate to imagine a fight with Genova and her being like the same size as your character, or fighting God Sephiroth at the end and him being roughly the same size as your character. Like that bothers me. And so thinking like Ruby Weapon's here and he's, 3 feet taller than Cloud. You're like, no, dude, he's supposed to be horrifying. Exactly. So I don't know. I'm worried.
What are the summons in this game? Is Bahamut in this game or no? Bahamut?
Neo Bahamut. There's like three different Bahamuts in this. Yeah.
But is there Bahamut one in the remake?
Neo Bahamut and Bahamut. Bahamut was not in the remake. Leviathan is like the only dragon that's in there, and
how big is Leviathan then? Is he a big summon or still small?
I didn't get him because I went past the level that he's on that I was supposed to find him in. And I went, I'm not going back to look for it. I don't care that much.
He's the fifth cat.
He is the fifth cat that I decided not to go look for. My volume was down, okay? I'm trying to play it out in the living room.
All right. Well, I mean, we're over an hour.
Let's make this a three-parter. We'll do part two in about 3 years.
Yeah, that's how we'll do it. And look forward to Tap B DLC on our Patreon, where we really dive into what we think about Jesse. I actually like Jesse.
Yeah. But anyway, Chard, I need you to get on rewriting the script for Patreon, please.
Yeah. I'll see what I can do.
So, okay, so are you guys, okay, Chard, you've beaten Final Fantasy VII Remake. Are you going to buy Rebirth?
My FOMO is telling me one thing, but my wife is telling me another. If I do get it, I'm probably going to wait till it comes out on PC, because I'd like to play it on the Steam Deck and play it on the PC. Remake plays great on the Steam Deck. Like, at first I was kind of like, I feel like this is going to be cumbersome. But as I played it, I was like, this is such a good game to play on the PC. It's really, or on the Steam Deck. It works really well. All the actions are there. It plays and it looks fantastic. So chances are if I do end up getting it, because I was going to buy it like the week of. You guys talked me out of it. Thank you for doing that, by the way. But because I didn't need to do it. I didn't need to spend the money. I hadn't even finished the first one yet. And I was just like, oh, it's out. I'm like Jake with Dragon's Dogma 2. Ah, I gotta get it.
I keep telling you, don't buy Dragon's Dogma 2.
Well,
don't,
my birthday's next week, so we'll see what happens. But I want to play it. But then Jake and I also talked about maybe just watching a video of it. One of my favorite YouTubers, Fighting Cowboy, is playing it. I kind of want to hang out and see what that's about. But I don't know. I also want to experience it for myself. So chances are I'm probably going to hold off and wait till it comes out for PC. So probably in a year when it comes out next year, they make more money.
It's coming out this year. I heard it's this summer.
But no, anyway. If it does, then maybe you'll see me playing it on the
You're a sicko. GP, you're going to, of course, play Rebirth, sounds like. You're waiting for it.
I will. I'm very excited about it. So I told myself I'm not going to allow myself to buy it until after I've beaten Final Fantasy X with the Penance Run, because I need to make that more of a priority. So that's my reward, other than not having to do the Wheel of Death.
Have you started that yet? Final Fantasy VII.
Huh?
Have you started the Penance Run yet?
I'm sorry, you're cutting out. I can't hear you.
okay. All right. Fine.
You gotta charge your headpiece longer.
I might do what Charge's doing. I might wait until it comes out on PC, because by then I very much would like to have a Steam Deck. And to be able to walk around or sit on the couch and do that, I think sounds like the optimal way to get that done.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Wolf, how about you? Do you think you're ever going to go back and finish Remake?
Such a labor.
And rescue them cats?
I want to know what changed as far as the plot points go. But they made it such an uncomfortable experience to do that. I don't know. Like, are you guys familiar with the spoon theory?
We've talked about it in the past, but I'm...
like social spoons, where you know you only have so many spoons for a day to work your way through social experiences and deal with the world and all that. And so you know something might eat up. Let's say you've got 10 spoons for the day. Work might eat up 7. But, you know, let's say for lunch you went to work with a coworker. That might have eaten up too. You get home, you got 1 spoon left, right? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, maybe whatever you've done throughout the day, used up all your spoons. I've never played a game that consumed my spoons.
You are my favorite person.
Like, it feels socially draining to play this game.
Wow. Thank you.
And somehow, more so than Animal Crossing.
Wow.
Thank you for waiting until we are an hour 15 into the episode, because if you had said that at the opener, there would have been no episode left after that.
That's the closer.
Very well stated. That's
the closer.
Tom Nook is texting me right now saying I owe him 50,000 bells for your slander, Wolf, because Animal Crossing is a thing of beauty. I like Animal Crossing.
The worst HOA I've ever seen.
I don't know, man.
I'm going to look up the spoon thing because I like that.
I'm with you though. Like, I mean, even from my experience, like I told you, Char, like my biggest worry is that after we do this episode, if I have not beaten the game by this episode, I worry that I wouldn't finish it. Although I think I'm going to now.
I gotta add something. I'm sorry to interrupt you, Jake. This just came to my thought about this fucking game, which makes me more angry now that I think about it. There's a section in
I'm trying to end it on a happy note, and your motherfucker, you're gonna slam it more. You're gonna drag us down again.
This is my own.
I'm trying to save the diver.
This is my own stupidity. So there's a section in Shinra Tower where you know you get the choice of, you know, you're gonna go in balls to the wall or you're gonna sneak around. And obviously Cloud says we're gonna sneak around the back. So we sneak around the back. There's a section where you can go. You got to go from the first floor to the 56th floor, 59th floor, and you can walk the stairs to all 59 floors. Who did that?
Me.
Me? Yeah. Why?
Yeah.
Why is that there? There should be a cutscene that gets you up there. I literally walked all the way up going, there's got to be a cutscene. They're not going to make me walk all 59 stairs.
They did in the PS1 version.
Yeah, that's true. That's what I want. If they didn't have those 50 fucking flights of stairs, I would have uninstalled immediately and put Street Fighter 6 back on.
There are 59 goddamn flights to get up Shinra.
And the dialogue and character development during those 59?
You get really tired and it slows down really fast.
Oh, fuck. You know, the scene where you have to, like...
What?
Fuck, I don't want to end like, that scene where you have to pull the switches and time together.
I actually did and you have to get time right. So I don't know why and you couldn't get it.
I fucking do 12 times. And know, like every time you fuck up, Barrett's like making fun of you. And he's like singing songs and razzing you 12 fucking times. And the dialogues end up repeating. And I'm like, I was losing my mind.
I know.
And I wanted to fucking, I hated that part.
I got there and I ripped through it in the first try on even the extra
I don't know
shit.
What it is. It's like, do you want to know how to do this again with a tutorial? Like, no, motherfucker. I know what the instructions are, but the timing window is so narrow.
Yeah. I couldn't even had do the it. Sound down. Anyway. I muted it so I didn't have to listen to Barrett. I still did it.
Insults.
Anyway, I do want to finish the game because I took a look at what the final boss would be because I'm like, what? How the hell are they going to end it with a final boss that's compelling? And I stopped when I saw that it was like 3 or 4 phase boss fight. I'm like, okay, they've got something that's different than the original to end it off on a good note,
cinematic.
Which is awesome. And so I want to see that. And I want to see the stuff with Zach and how they're like justifying why it's different. So that part's interesting to me. I would like to play through that. And I think I'm at the end of the game where it's just one last fucking quest hub and I can move past it. I think I'll finish
if
it.
You, if,
Rebirth. Yeah.
The storytelling is good.
I don't want to buy a game I'm not going to like. And I don't think I like Final Fantasy Remake. And I don't think I'll like Rebirth. But I still think I might end up buying it.
Yeah.
I got a sickness.
Feel the hate flow through
you. You told me I'm a sick man, and then you're just going off and saying, I'm probably going to buy it too.
I bought fucking Dragon Dogma 2. I never played the first one. I'm never going to play the first one.
You tell me how good it is all the time. You even said
the story makes no sense. You kind of just walk around. It's like Skyrim, but bad. But I like it. But all the best items are in the store for some reason, so there's no reason to explore and do shit. And it's the same 5 enemies you fight all over. But I like it. It might be game of the year. Don't be surprised if it's my runner-up.
Are we still talking about Final Fantasy VII Remake?
No.
No, fucking Dragon Dogma.
Because it sounds like we're still talking about Final Fantasy VII Remake.
Razdin.
Damn.
Yeah, I don't know. But I'm probably going to buy Rebirth. I might wait for a sale, so I might try and hold off until the end of the year, because I think it'll go on Steam sale by the end of the year. I'm hoping it will. I think what's going to happen for Square is they're going to realize they're releasing the second game in a trilogy. Nobody likes watching the second in a trilogy. They always want to wait for the third one to come out and do the whole thing.
Empire?
I think that's a great like,
come on, man.
Yeah.
Okay, but when Empire came out, did they tell you that's the fucking second movie of a trilogy, or did they say this is the sequel to the most exciting movie of the decade, right? They didn't tell you that it was a middle of a trilogy. They don't do that.
Yeah.
Right?
We're releasing the lull. Enjoy.
Yeah.
Enjoy.
Yeah, this is called the trough, everybody.
Yeah, George Lucas's finest, or at least the middle of his finest, and then, you know, come back in a few years for the conclusion. Nobody likes the middle episode, and I think this is going to sell terribly. I hope Square stays the. I don't. Wow. I'm hoping Square finishes this on a high note, which is weird to say, and that whatever they call the third game is good, and I hope the whole package is good. But I do feel like this is something I should have waited entirely for the Grand Master Edition 10 years from now, and to play that. But then it would be like 400 hours long, and I don't have time for that. So
no,
I don't know.
That one will be called Final Fantasy VII Reduced, and they'll just
double deuce.
Yoink.
Filtered it down, to just all the shit. Yeah, okay.
It'll be everything we're bitching about them not doing.
Well, if we're still around in 10 years,
you're in Midgar for 3 hours, then you get to go explore the outside world. You know.
God, can you imagine us doing an episode follow-up for Final Fantasy, whatever the third one is? That'll be fucking funny.
Probably will. Hopefully we're still friends and hanging out.
Let's see. It depends how many wheel pains we got between now and then. Okay. We should wrap it up. Is there anything you guys want to shout out? People have been really busy. Nobody's been really streaming or making stuff, but if there's if something you want to shout out.
I don't think I have anything important. I'll be back to streaming in May. That's where I'm at. I'm loving Forbidden West and I really want to get back to it. So, and once the cage is torn down, I'll be back in my office again.
I'll throw a shout out to, Sinistar, who recently redevoted himself to promising everyone that he will be streaming at least four times a week. So look forward to Sinistar very quickly becoming the most popular thing on Twitch.
So he will be streaming, I think, again soon. He just put it off because he was trying to finish up Witcher 3.
Which he
and,
did.
And he's playing that. Which he and did. He did. Yeah, he just finished it this week. I think we're doing an episode soon.
Good job.
I'm so thrilled with that.
That's two of us. That's two of us.
That's two of you. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Me and Look, Sinistar. Look, I got Carpal Tunnel.
Street Fighter VI is a poor choice. Maybe I'll take a visual novel instead.
Dragon's Dogma 2 is going to be game of the year.
And his new Sisyphean game. Yeah. Well, guys, you know, I had a lot of fun playing my Sisyphean game, Dragon Dogma 2.
I hate this game. It sucks. Of the year, but 2024.
I hate it, but I love it.
I feel like, wasn't that a Seinfeld episode?
Probably.
I hate this person so much, but I'm going to marry him.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my life with games.
You're Costanzing.
Yeah. He is Costanzing.
Like, I got an analog pocket, which people warned me not to buy. Sorry, I'll be quick. I bought an analog pocket, which is a handheld fucking Game Boy, basically. And I got a couple games for it. I got Mario Land. I got Tetris, of course, Donkey Kong, games I love. And then there's this retro game treasure box. It's one of those retro games of the month things you can get, and they send you a Long fucking John box Silvers. For $40. Yeah, I like that. Except you can't eat these. Anyway, you're gonna get a random retro game. So you can pick what console. So I picked all the ones that will run this handheld. So all the Game Boy games, right? I know for $40, I'm not gonna get anything good. I know I'm not gonna see Mario. I'm not gonna see fucking Sonic or Castlevania. I know I'm gonna get shitty sports games. Or Batman or something, or the TMNT game that's trash. I'm getting these trash Game Boy games. I know it. I still paid for it because part of me is like, I just want that experience of grandma buying you that shitty old game for Christmas. And that's what I'm going to get. So maybe I'll make a video opening that box. I get one in a week, but we'll see.
Jake's getting Riddick Bow boxing. I'm calling it now.
Or,
anyway.
Yeah, Michael Jordan's baseball.
All the classics. Right, yeah. All the classics.
Bo Jackson triple track.
Wild Wolf. Is there anything you want to shout out?
No, not at the moment. I've just been I've been playing Moonlighter, and I'm about to finish that one up finally.
I heard that was pretty good too.
Is that where you have two jobs?
It's where you cruise through dungeons that are randomly generated, find loot, take it back to your shop, and sell it to the townsfolk so that you can afford better weapons to go back into the dungeon and do it again.
So an RPG.
Interesting. Okay.
You just described all the things Chart hates about 7 Remake.
No, but...
Helping townspeople.
The thing about Moonlighter is I don't have to interact with NPCs and get to know them.
Okay.
I don't have to care about them. So all I got to do is keep them from stealing my shit and make sure I man the register when they want to buy something.
Yeah. Keep your spoons.
Use your spoons as you see fit.
And go watch Fallout. When you're done with this episode, go watch the new Fallout show. It's fantastic.
Go watch Fallout. Go watch X-Men 97. I think at some point we're going to try and do an episode related to that, or maybe just we'll do an episode on what we're watching, because there's been a lot of great stuff that's on TV lately, and I never watch TV.
Same.
All right, so you know what, keep your spoons in reserve, save some of them for us. We'll see you guys next week. We are Press Me to Cancel. You can find us wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts, or us. You'll also find us on YouTube. God, GP. Or check out our website, pressmetocancel.com. Please drop a follow wherever you're watching or listening. We do appreciate it. Everybody have a great week.
Let's mosey.